Psalm 121. Very familiar words, often read together at times of loss and bereavement. But just to dive into the heart of this psalm, Psalm 120 through to Psalm 134, you'll see just in your Bible there, a psalm of ascents. So what does that mean? A psalm of ascents. These group of 14 psalms were used within our summer playlist, if you like, or way back in the Hebrew songbook. They were used three times a year as the pilgrims were going from wherever they lived up to Jerusalem to worship. It's actually funny in the psalm as well. Some would say verses 1 and 2 are in the first person, verses 3 through to 6 are in the second person, and being antiphonal, possibly that one person sang the first two verses and then everybody responded, you know, like, I don't know what I've been told. That idea that as you're moving, you're singing and you're responding to each other in your words. But it's a pilgrim psalm. It's about going to Jerusalem. It's about going to the holy city, say, three times a year. I don't know where it sits in your heart. For the McCracken family or for the Forsyth family, it's very significant. My mum, during the war years, was away down by the Mourne Mountains with family out of the Blitz in Belfast. And this psalm is mum's favourite psalm. And she says, oh, and you used to look and you just see the Mourne Mountains and how the mountains were there and wouldn't change, they wouldn't move and so on, which is absolutely true and right and great, but not just 100% what the psalmist is meaning here. Also in our family, and I don't mean to be emotional, I'm not doing it but when my younger sister passed away 26 years ago, and as Rosie was on her deathbed, mum says, Gordon, recite Psalm 121. She calls me Gordon. And I'm there thinking, oh, where's the Bible? Is there a Bible in the room? I can't find a Bible. And Rosie was slipping away. And I tried just from memory. And fairly close to these words that mean so, so much to so, so many people. But what is the heart of these words? I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? There's a question. It's a question. Where? What's that place? Where does my help come from? Michael Wilcox in his little book says, is the psalmist thinking of the hills as a refuge or as a menace? There are actually three things here. Is it a hiding place? I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It's actually not David. I always thought Psalm 121, that's one of David's. It's not. But if it was David, well, the hills were a hiding place when Saul was chasing you. The cave at Adullam, it was the place you went to get away from your enemies. A place of refuge and safety. Almost more interesting and challenging for us is the high places. If you like, places of religion, but of pagan religion. They would say as the pilgrim psalms were heading to Jerusalem, and they were going down the roads, and the hills were there beside them, well, Asherah poles and different pagan altars would be on the hillsides. And so you're walking along saying, where does my help come from? Is it these pagan gods? Is it these other gods? No, my help comes from the Lord. So is it the high places of false religion? Some of the commentators say as well that it's the holy city. Does the writer have in mind, oh, you're going up a psalm of ascent to Jerusalem, you're going up the mountains, And eventually you come to that spot where you can see the holy city. So your heart just explodes in praise. Here it is. We're getting to God's city. We're getting to the holy city. Rejoicing at the end of your journey. Maybe all of the above is true. But for you and I, that question, where does our help come from? The policeman and the fireman and the lollipop lady and whatever. Those things in life. But here it's spiritual. It's the very heart of our being. Where does our help come from? Well, that help is found in the person of the Lord. My help comes from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. Again, I found this great. Derek Kidner. The thought of this verse leaps beyond the hills to the universe, beyond the universe to its maker. Oh. This verse leaps beyond the hills to the universe, or to the heavens, to the universe, to its maker. My help comes from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. The Message puts it like this. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and mountains. Our help comes from He who is so, so much greater. Our help doesn't come from a place. Our help, folks, comes from a person. Again, Michael Wilcox in his little book says, God the Creator and His keeping power are the theme of the psalm. God the Creator and His keeping power are the theme of the psalm. Romans 8, Paul writes, you see, if God is for us, who can be against us? Our help comes from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. Our strength from Him isn't found enslaved, honored, that'll be there for however long. Our help comes from the God who made slaved, honored. This is way beyond. And folks, this is our God. This is our God. Verses 3 to 6 have three pictures. Again, I've found actually just for myself a blessing in just working through this. I would often read this in home and hospital, but actually just to take a bit more time with it. There are three pictures that are in these next few verses. Can you see them? If you have scripture open on your lap there, can you see them? There's one there giving you a bit of direction already. The God who keeps us, six times keeps or watches over, depending on what Bible version you have. This is about God watching us, keeping us. The rest of the psalm leads into an ever-expanding circle of promise, Derek Kidner says, after verses 1 and 2. The rest of the psalm leads into an ever-expanding circle of promise. What is that circle of promise? Stability. He will not let your foot slip. He will not let your foot be moved, I think is the authorized version, to slip and slide, to stagger or to be shaken. The maker of heaven and earth gives our life stability. Now, as I read these words, I'm also aware, goodness, sometimes that's not life experience. How do you square that circle? But it's that God is with us in this. So the God who gives us stability, who will not let your foot slip. The God who brings security 24/7. Because what does it say in verses, second part of verse 3 and verse 4? He who watches over you will not slumber or sleep. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The God who watches over us 24/7. Like the night watchman. Or 24/7 security. bless the guys at Keswick or at Port Stewart that stay in the tent all night. But God, who watches over us, will not slumber or sleep. Constant 24/7 care. In the most difficult of times, when we do feel like our feet stumble and struggle, but God watches over us. I love, didn't have a picture for this, should have got a wee umbrella somewhere, and a wee man with a drink sitting out on the beach. But is our shade at our right hand? The Lord is your shade at your right hand, so that the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Some of the scholars in this talked about, well, you can get sunstroke, but then also talked about moonstroke, about lunar, where we get the word lunatic, where you lose yourself. But God will be your shade under the moon and under the sun. But that image, that picture of God as your shade. Whenever we were in the hospital with Rosie 26 years ago, knowing in your most difficult time, you were under the shade of God's care. Didn't want to be there, but you knew the one who was bringing stability to your life was watching over you 24/7 and was covering you with his shade, with his care and his love at the most difficult of times. Protecting you from the burning sun by day or the freezing temperatures at night. Covering you. Protecting you. Warren Wiersbe says, our keeper is not only on the throne looking down on us, but he is at our side to shield us from all harm. That's worth reading again. The one who keeps us, watches over our lives. Our keeper is not only on the throne looking down on us, but he is at our side to shield us from all harm. As I read these words, do you think, Gordy, I write? Because as I read them, I ask that question too, because it's an honest and real question. Again, Asaph, one of the other psalmists, Psalm 73, says, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. You think, yeah, we'll just leave it there. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant and I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I'm seeking to live for God, and I'm looking and thinking, how do these boys get away with it? I saw that for 4 years working in Sandy Row, and the boys that were the hoodlums were the boys dripping in jewellery and driving the biggest cars. Thinking, Lord, what's the crack? We're working with the City Mission and Family Income Supplement. As for me, my foot had almost slipped. But God is the God of stability and security and shade. And this is true, even in the most difficult of times. The psalm finishes verse 7 and 8 with a promise. There's a whatever. Allow me to read them. The Lord will keep you from all harm. Whatever, he will watch over your life. Wherever, the Lord will watch over your coming and going, your going out and your coming in. Wherever you are, 24/7, the Lord is your shade, the Lord is your security. Forever, both now and forevermore. Folks, do we need to hear these words this morning? For every person on every pew, you have your story and you have your struggles. And we need to lift our eyes, not to the hills, but to the Lord, where our help comes from. To the person who gives us the pictures of stability, security, and shade. In a world that's tough and tight at times. But the promise is there that He is with us whatever. He is with us wherever. And He is with us forever. We're thinking on Wednesday night past, and it's one of those theological points that we don't kind of quite grasp or get, or we forget about as we think about what's the little yellow sheet remind us, what we're going to be thinking about, our salvation, our redemption, our justification, our sanctification, and then our glorification. Heaven. And often we'll live like heaven's not even there. We don't take hold of it. We don't let it burn in our hearts so that it changes how we live. The Lord is with us. Whatever, keep you from all harm. Again, squaring that circle in your head. Wherever you're going out and you're coming in, forever, both now and forevermore. Warren Wiersbe broke the psalm into four parts. My Father's creation is before me. I lift my eyes to the hills. My Father's eyes are on me, watching us, caring us, caring for us. My Father's presence is beside me, my shade at my right hand. My Father's care is around me, keeping us from all harm, in our going out and our coming in, both now and forevermore.